king, for the most part, king of Persia. And the Lord rose him up in order to call for the Jews to be released, and he allowed the Jews to return to their land. And after only being out of captivity, so they've been back in their land for some 2 years, the foundation of the temple was laid. You remember when they were taken exile and the Babylonians came in, they destroyed the city, they destroyed the wall of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple of God. But with only being back in their land for 2 years, we'll find here in a moment that they had already built the foundation of the temple. I want you to look with me starting in chapter 3 of Ezra, verse number 8. Chapter 3 of Ezra, verse number 8. The Bible says, now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God, they've been back 2 years, Jerusalem. In the second month began Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel, don't you understand, was the governor of Judah. He had been appointed by Cyrus, the king of Persia. So Zerubbabel, it tells us here, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, the remnant of the brethren, the priests, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel, and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons, and the brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now I want you to fast forward with me to chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. We do sacrifice unto him since the days of Ezar, Hadan king of Aser, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, he said, you don't got nothing to do with us. You're not part of us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in building, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now I want you to go with me to verse number 24 of chapter number 4. Verse number 24 of chapter number 4. Watch these words. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. I want you to understand what's taking place here. Just 2 years back into their land, just 2 years back out of captivity, they had such a spark, they had such a fire, they had such momentum that the Bible tells us in just 2 short years, the foundations of that great, wonderful, magnificent second temple had been laid. And then the Bible tells us that the devil moved in. The Bible tells us that opposition moved in, the adversaries moved in, and the devil moved in, discouragement moved in, dissension moved in, and the building of the house of the Lord, the Bible says, ceased. The work of God ceased. You know, I was thinking lately, it's been amazing the last couple of years. I mean, what we've seen the Lord do in just in this March, this past March, we celebrated 4 years as pastor, and we've seen God just, even over the last couple of years, I mean, this year, we had the greatest outreach we've ever had, and God blessed in a mighty way, and it's wonderful seeing the Lord work, and we've been able to see the Lord start ministries. We've been able to see the Lord start and roll buses and bring buses in and rebuild or remodel buildings. And we've been able to see God save souls and save sinners and people go through the baptismal pool. And we've been able to see people's life changed. And it's amazing what we've been able to see God do. And I'll tell you, as I said this morning, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. And it's marvelous, he said, in our sight. The Bible says here, as they were building the house of God, that opposition came, problems came, and the work ceased. I want to say to you tonight, as good as God has been, and as great as things have went, and as much as God has blessed, it, still seeing folks join the church very often. We thank the Lord for that and what he's done. But I want you to understand tonight, listen to me very clearly, as good as all that is, it could end just like that. It may be because of opposition. Thank the Lord, right? As far as I know, there's no great opposition, no dissension going on. But it may not be opposite. It may be apathy. Just simply getting used to the blessings of God. Just simply getting used to seeing God work and God move and taking it for granted that God would do something with us. Might just be apathy. Might simply be laziness. It might be getting sidetracked and sidelined and losing our main purpose and our vision for the work that God has given us to do. The Bible says here that the foundation was laid. I want you to understand, look, there's been a foundation laid. We've watched God lay a foundation, and the foundation had been laid. In fact, in verse number 11, we read back in Ezra there, you'll find out that they're praising God. They're celebrating about the great things the Lord has done. There's a celebration. Can I say to you tonight, I never want the work of God to cease at Crossroads Baptist Church. The progress, the Bible says, ceased. The work ceased. We've seen the Lord lay a foundation, that God help us to keep building. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Let's just keep building. Let's keep building. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for these thy people. Thank you, Lord, for the day you've already given us, the blessings you gave us this morning, Lord, the great music. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts through the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done this evening and ministering in song and just the presence of other believers and the fellowship. Lord, we ask you tonight to arrest our attentions for the next few moments that we might behold what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me now in the book of Haggai. The remainder of the message will be in the book of Haggai, Lord willing. And start in chapter number 1, verse number 1. I want you to understand, when you come to Haggai, chapter number 1, work on the house of God has been stopped for some 16 years. They laid that foundation the first 2 years, but now they've been back in their land, and the work has been ceased on that temple and that building for 16 long years. Verse number 1, let's begin to read Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, the sixth month and the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. This was his lot, to come and warn and come and try and stir up and come and try and get up, get these people moving again to the work of God. Unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. We'll read more as we continue on in a moment. But you understand, God had delivered Israel, watch this, out of captivity. He had brought them up out of that bondage. They were no longer in fear. They find themselves, even though they've been brought up out of bondage, they've been brought out of that those taskmasters that were over them and delivered from all of that. And yet we find here that they find themselves stagnant, complacent, uninterested, and unenthused now at the work of God. After the wonderful things he had done for them and all how he had blessed them, Haggai tells the children of Israel, listen, God didn't save you just to sit around. I'm reminded how we too were like the Jews in captivity, under slavery of sin. Oh, she just sung about it a moment ago. Thank God now we're free from that sin. We're free from that bondage. We're free from that slavery. But I'm reminded how you and I were in captivity. You and I were under the bonds and the chains of sin in way over our head. Nothing we could do. And when there was no rose red enough, and there was no lamb white enough, when there was no man good enough, when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem him that was under the law. And when there was nothing we could do, he saved us, made us free, brought us up out of that bondage. The psalmist David puts it this way in Psalm chapter number 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, established my going, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And can I say to you, the reason he saved us and established us is because you and I, he didn't want us to sit around. He wanted us to be busy about the master's business. Can I say to you tonight, there's work to be done. There's a temple to be built. Oh, listen tonight, the foundation has been laid, but let's just keep on working. As we look tonight at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice several things. First of all, beginning, I want you to notice the Lord's rebuke. Notice the Lord's rebuke. Again, verse number 2, starting there. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. In other words, these people that's been back in their land for 16 years. If this people say, God says, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? The people said, it's still not time to worry about the work of God. It's still not time to worry about the house of God. I understand they came back in ruins. They came back to poverty. But friend, it's been 16 years. The house of God still lay nothing but a foundation. And they're still concerned with their own personal agendas and their own personal lives instead of being concerned about the house of God. In verse number 5, God says it this way, consider your ways. God says you put all your focus, you put all your time, you put all your attention, you put all your resources, you've thrown everything toward you and yours and me and mine, and it's been all about you. When's it going to be about me? Consider your ways. Says you hadn't been concerned about my house. Take a step back, he says, and take an honest look at what's been important to you over these last few years. Oh, it's been 16 years. God says, take an honest step back. Consider your ways and see what's really been important to you. I'm reminded how we also sometimes, we set the Lord's work on the side, and instead we get caught up in all the things the world has to offer. We get caught up in all the devices and all the things of the world, and in trying to lay up treasures here, and in trying to build something here, when it's nothing but temporal, it's nothing but fleeting, it's nothing but failing, but still we put our time and our resources and our talent thing to this world, and all of us do. God says, consider your ways. We see the Lord's rebuke. You know, the Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink. Oh, if He clothed the lily of the fields, won't He clothe you? We see the Lord's rebuke. Notice the second thing, the people's response. Only look with me at verse number 12 of chapter 1 of Haggai. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. The people's response, first of all, let's say they were unified. They had a unified response. It says all the people obeyed. All the people came together. They were unified. Can you imagine? These were builders, by the way. Can you imagine if all the people, all those builders had different blueprints? Can you imagine if they were all using different specs? Can I say to you tonight, you want to know why a whole lot of churches aren't moving forward? A whole lot of churches aren't doing anything for God. A whole lot of churches aren't getting any traction. It's because they can't agree on anything. It's because all they want to do is fuss and argue and fight about things that don't even matter. I thank God very often, more than you know, that we have a group of people here that understand that it really don't matter what brand of toilet paper that we use, or what color the carpet is, or what color the walls are. There's a whole lot bigger things to worry about than that in the work of God. But there's a lot. Listen to me. It only takes one or two. It could all be gone like that, the momentum, because of the opposition. Oh, they were unified. Can I say to you? If I talked about the blueprints, and they're all, what if they're all using different blueprints? You know, if I'm saved, and I am, and if you're saved, and I hope you are, and we're all being led by the same Spirit of God, I'll tell you, He don't lead two different directions. And so He'll lead us all the same way. The problem is, a lot of times folks ain't following the Holy Spirit. They're following their own spirit. But we ought to be able to find some common ground. God, listen, God wants us to build His church, but I'll say to you, it takes unity. Notice, first of all, they were unified in obedience. The Bible tells us, if you look back at verse number 12, they obeyed God. Exactly what it says. They obeyed God. Why is it that we think that we can disobey God and still be successful? I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about in our personal lives. I'm talking about in any realm of the imagination. How is it we think we can disobey God and God just going to drop blessings wherever they land? Oh, listen, God wants to bless us and God wants to use us, but we got to give God something to work with. We can't disobey God. They were unified in obedience. They obeyed God. The Lord said to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Now listen, God might bless your talent. God might bless your tithe. God might bless your effort. But I'll promise you this, He will certainly bless your obedience. Because He said He would. You've heard me probably tell the story about the young boy who crying from his bed. You know how kids will do. Dad, will you bring me a drink of water? That's a no, son. Not tonight. It's time for bed. You're in bed now. Go to sleep. Told me to say, Dad, can you bring me some water? Son, I told you I'd bring no water tonight. It's time for bed. You've been messing around. Go to sleep. Third time. A few minutes later, Dad, you bring me some. I said, son, if you ask me for water again, I'm going to come and spank you. About 10 minutes went by. Dad, you come to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water? You see, we're the same way. We only want to do. Lord, if you got chastisement, just let me do my thing, what I want to do, and you can chastise me while I'm doing it. They were unified in obedience. I want you to notice the second thing. They were unified in the fear of God. They were unified in the fear of the Lord. Verse number 12, look at it again. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Can I tell you what we need? What would help us as much or more than anything else that we could have happen at Crossroads Baptist Church, at any other church in our country, is just simply a revival of the fear of God. Just simply getting understanding who God is and having a reverence and a fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord, understand, it's the beginning of knowledge. Can I say to you tonight, it is still a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. By the way, that was written to Christians, not to lost people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Listen, what we need tonight at the White House is some folks that fear God. What we need down at the schoolhouse, all the shootings, is some people that fear God. But can I say more than that? What we need at the church house is some people that have a fear of God. Oh yeah. What's going to rebuild our churches is folks regaining a fear and a reverence and awe of the Lord. You know, the reason that people don't fear God is because they don't know God. Can I say to you tonight, when you get a glimpse of who God is, you have a whole lot better understanding of who you really are. Oh, Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, chapter 6, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know what he said? Then I fell on my face as dead. When he saw the Lord, when he understand who God was. I think of Moses. Think of Moses there, and the Lord meets him there at the burning bush. Oh, he says to Moses, Moses, I got a job for you. I want you to go lead my people up out of Israel. Moses says, Lord, he saw him at the burning bush, understand. He understood something about God. Who am I that I could go do that? Think about Psalms 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants stand in awe of him. Job said this. He said, therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. If you knew the people that's told me, God's a God of love, and he's a God of mercy, and he's a God of compassion. He is, but he's also a consuming fire, friend. Don't throw that part out. He's also a God of judgment. I don't fear God. Then you're very foolish. Unified in their obedience. They were unified in the fear of God. I want you to notice the second thing. They were unified in serving God. A third thing. Verse number 14. Look at it. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came, watch this, and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They were unified in serving the Lord. Can I just say this very simply tonight? It takes work. Listen, I'm for doing all the things that we can do for outreach. I'm for doing everything we can do to reach somebody else, and we're doing those things, I'll promise you, behind the scenes, on the websites and on social media and every other way. But listen, at the end of the day, it takes work. Just people that roll up their sleeves, like what many of you did on Saturday, went out and we had a need and went out and met that need. Oh, then this is work. It's work when the sewer breaks and you got to dig it up. It's work when we're doing things like what we had happen over there at Bricky School and all the other many things. It takes work to build something. They were unified and said they came and worked. And by the way, they were working in the master's vineyard. Look at verse number 6. He says, you've sown much and bring in little. He's rebuking them. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages, he said, you're earning wages to put it in a bag with holes. God wants us to work in his vineyard. You see, here's the deal. You got two options tonight you can do with your life, with your treasures, with your time, with everything you've got. You can give it away and you throw it away. You can give it to the Lord and say, take my life and let it be. You can give it to God and let him take that and multiply it above your imagination. Or you can just simply throw it away on living the way you want to live.
and die with nothing.
Everybody is somebody's fool. You say, well, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. Understand tonight, everybody's somebody's fool. Who's fool? You, Paul said, I'm fool for Christ's sake. Everybody's somebody's fool. What is it going to take to build the church of God? I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take some people dying to self. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still here. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's it going to take to build the house of God? What's it going to take to keep the work moving forward? What's it going to take that the work would not cease? I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take some people that die to self. It's going to take some people that are concerned. It's going to take some people that are consumed. It's going to take some people tonight that are convinced that God's way is the right way. It's going to take a group of people tonight that's of the opinion, Crossroads Baptist Church, that God's way is a whole lot better than our ways, and we want His way a whole lot more than we want our way. Well, we got to come to the place where we want what God wants a whole lot more than we want what we want. Mary said it this way. Behold, look, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Just selling out to God, just dying to self. You know, I've never heard one time somebody who was truly saved by the grace of God on their deathbed say, I wish I wouldn't have served the Lord as much. I wish I wouldn't have gave as much of my life to Him. I wish I wouldn't have gave as much of my time to Him. I wish I wouldn't have gave as much of my talents to Him. What could have really been something? I wish I wouldn't have gave my treasures to Him. I wish I hadn't served God as much. I've never heard a saved person say that. Because I want to tell you something. When you lay there and it's the end of it all and you're fixing to pass over into eternity, there's not one single thing that you've done in this life for this life that's going to matter. None of it. It's all going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll account for zero. That's why we're told, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. I want to say to you tonight, we behold the one who's been beaten and bloodied and bruised. When we look at the one who died for us, we look at the one who has the nail prints in his hands and the thorn-crowned brow and has the spear that's been stuck in his side, the hose still there. When we look at the one who has the bruised heel, it'll matter what we've done for the Lord. Notice a third thing tonight. We see the Lord's rebuke. We've seen the people's response. I want you to notice this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Notice the stirred remnant. Look again at verse number 13 and 14. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Man, I'm about to preach. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of God, their host. You know, it's the first thing about this stirred remnant. Notice, first of all, he promised his presence. Listen to me tonight, church. I'm talking about building the house of God. I'm talking about doing the work of God. Watch this now. He promised His presence. He says, I am with you. Friend, I don't know about you tonight, but that stirs me up a little bit. When I hear God, I'm talking about the creator of the world. I'm talking about the God of heaven, the one who hung the moon and stars and calls them all by name and has the hairs on your head numbered. And he says to me, I am with you. Whoo! That does something to me. Oh, yes. First, he promised his presence. Thank God tonight we've not been given this task alone to build the house of God and to do the work of God. He said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I'm that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, listen, I'm glad tonight that when David went out to Goliath to fight,
He went out there. You know what he said? He said, "You've come to me, giant, with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the living God." You want to know something? He didn't go alone. He didn't fight alone. He didn't stand on that battlefield alone. And I'll tell you tonight, we'll not have to build the work of God and do the work of God alone. Oh, but David said, "You'll be with me. I come in the name of the Lord." Thank God tonight when Moses, we talked about it earlier, led those children of Israel up out of Egypt. And he goes and he says to God, "Oh Lord, you want me to go to Pharaoh? Who should I tell him sent me?" Woo! Jesus said, "I will be with thee." In other words, Moses, it's not so important. Moses said, "Who am I?" Moses, it's not so important who you are. Oh, listen tonight, but it's a whole lot more important who I am. And God said, "I will be with thee." Oh, listen, when David went out, he went with the Lord. Moses went out, he went with the Lord. Think about David there at Ziklag. The city's been burnt with fire, and the Amalekites have spoiled everything in the camp. The women have been taken. The wives have been taken. The children have been taken. And everything, the Bible says that the men wept, and David said he wept till he couldn't weep no more. And the people spake of stoning David himself because they blamed him for what went wrong. But you know what the Bible says? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can I tell you, he's promised his presence. Think about Stephen. Oh, Stephen stood there in the persecution. Stephen stood there when the stones were being thrown. He stood there when the rocks were flying. Oh, listen, Stephen's about. I'm talking, he's in the midst of the battle, friend. He's fixing to enter into glory, and he's fixing to pass over on the other side. Could somebody tell me what Stephen said? "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God." You know what I'm happy about tonight, friend, is that you and I have not been given this task alone. We've not been given this work alone. But God said, "I will be with thee." Oh yes, he's promised his presence. Aren't you glad tonight when all others forsake us? Aren't you glad when your friends forsake you and your family forsake you and everyone else forsake us? There's that still small voice. Oh, there's that unseen hand. There's that whisper in your ear. There's that wind that blows when you need some comfort. There's that rain that falls when you need a drink. I'm glad sometimes when you're walking through the field, God drops a handful on purpose because he can and because he's God. And we serve a God that says, "I'll be with thee." Think about Paul standing there before the Sanhedrin. His testimony, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me. All forsook me," that's what Paul said. I pray that it be not laid to their charge. Then he said this, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and comforted me." Listen, friend, tonight he's promised his presence. We don't have to fight alone. We don't have to work alone. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, "There am I in the midst." Not only has he promised his presence, notice the second thing about this stirred remnant. He's provided his power. Look again at verse number 14. "And the Lord," watch it, "and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel." God stirred up the spirit. He's promised his, he's provided his power. Can I say to you tonight, we're not going to do very much without his power. Listen to me tonight. Pastor Dixon can't get it done. Brother Jim and the great choir can't get it done. Listen to me tonight. The Sunday school teachers can't get it done. The bus workers can't get it done. All the work we've got to do. Let me tell you something. None of us, we can't get it done and of ourselves on our own. We need the power and the Spirit of God to help us. He's provided his power. The Lord stirred up the Spirit. "Not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." In Ezra, God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. If you notice that, we're reading through that. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, and the foundation was laid in a short time. In this passage here, God stirs the spirit of Joshua. He stirs, we see, the spirit of Zer and the people. And in 5 short years, the temple was built. And I want to say to you tonight, Crossroads Baptist Church, I believe that God wants to do it again. I believe that God wants to bless again. I believe that God wants to build again. I believe that God wants to save again. I believe that God wants to do a great work again, more than we can ever imagine. God wants to do it again. Bible still says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Imagine that, God scanning the sky. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to prove himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking for a group of people that'll simply make them, listen to me, that'll make themselves available to him, that'll sell out to him, that'll follow him, and that will let God do what God wants to do. He's looking for a group of people, listen to me tonight, whom he can stir up to do his work. D.L. Moody said this. He said, the world's yet to see what God could do with a man that's 100% totally surrendered. He said that toward the end of his life, and it was said he won over 1 million souls to Christ. He said, the world's still yet to see what God could do with just one man. Just one man that's totally surrendered to him. Tonight, imagine what God could do with the people in this room if we'd simply make ourselves available to him. Can I say to you tonight, I'm not ready to concede to the devil. I still believe God's able. If I didn't believe God was able to turn this thing around, I'd quit tonight. I still believe God's able to turn this thing around. I'm not ready to concede. I'm not ready to quit. I want to say tonight, I still believe God can do it. And God's not through with us yet. And let's make sure that we don't allow the work of God to cease on our watch. Let's make sure that we keep things moving forward. Let's not get stagnant. Let's not get stale. And let's never stop. But let's keep on moving for the glory of God and keep building what God wants to build. Somebody says, well, I'm up in years. And everything, I didn't say that for me. I'm saying somebody may say that. I'm up in years. Everything that I'm going to do for Christ, I've already done. Don't you understand Haggai? He was very old when God appointed him with this task of rebuilding the temple. He had seen, give you an insight on how old he was, he had seen the first temple. You'll find that out if you study the book out. I believe Haggai had witnessed and seen that first temple. Moses, think about Moses, his life broken up into 3 parts, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years the backside of the desert, and 40 years in the perfect will of God. And so Moses was 80 years old when God gave him the task to go and lead his children up out of Egypt. I'm simply saying tonight, listen, you're never too old. Hey, Caleb was promised Hebron when he was 40, and finally he got it when he was 85, and he said, I want that mountain that my Lord hath given me. See his presence, see his power. I want you to notice the final thing. Watch this now, don't miss this. His purpose. Look with me at chapter number 2. Verse number 9, the stirred remnant. Chapter 2, verse number 9. Watch this now. Bible says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. What was his purpose? To build his house. Listen to me, church. With more glory than it's ever had before. God wants to build his house with more glory than it's ever been before. Can I say to you tonight, I believe that God's house can be a place, I believe it ought to be a place, and I believe it can be a place that's appealing. I believe it's a place, can be a place that's magnificent. I believe it can be a place that's longed for. And listen, not because of the gold that's there, not because of the silver that's there, but because of the people of God that's there, and the Spirit that's there, and the Word of God that's there, and that unity that's there, and that love that's there, and that wonderful Spirit that's there, and compassion. Can I say to you tonight? More than ever before, people are looking for something that's real. Recently, I'm talking about real recently, I've talked to people that's went to the noise. You know what I'm talking about. Sunday morning noise. Not church, Sunday morning noise. And they're looking for a place where the power's at and the preaching's at and the glory's at. They're looking for a place, listen, where they can get help, because what they're finding out when they leave is it just was nothing but noise and they didn't get any help. And nothing happened in their life. I've been telling you for years that this new fandangled stuff, it's never produced another generation of Christians, and it never will. I read an article here just a couple weeks ago, and it was from a Southern Baptist kind of thing that put it out, but it was talking about what to do now after the contemporary church is passed on. How to survive the end of that movement. Well, I had to survive it because I never got in it. I like old-time religion, amen. I'm talking about Bible teaching and preaching. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about singing the old hymns. I'm talking about glorifying Christ instead of glorifying and lifting up man. People are looking for something that's real, that's different than what they see in the world. And I want to tell you, God's way still works. God said, this house, what's amazing. He said, this house will be much better than the first. Listen to me tonight. I believe that the best days of Crossroads Baptist Church are ahead of us. I believe, God said, I want to fill this place with glory like never before. I don't believe our feeble minds can even imagine what God could do with this place if we'll allow Him to. Ezekiel said this. He said over there, if you look, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar. We dealt with that passage last Sunday. But anyway, he said, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar. Watch this. And I fell on my face. In other words, watch this. When God's glory filled the house. I'm talking about when it was the way it was supposed to be. Ezekiel said, I fell on my face. Why? Because he couldn't stand to look at it, because it was so good. Listen, God wants to do something so good and so great that we can hardly stand to look at it. I'd be involved in it. He said, it'd be better than anything before and anything you've ever seen. God's still looking for some folks to build His house His way. Most of us have the attitude, well, I want God to bless what I'm doing. I want God to get in on what I'm doing instead of us finding out what God's blessing and what God's doing and getting in on that. I tell you, He's still blessing the work of His church.
Listen, there's many things you can get caught up in and involved in. I used to be for Boy Scouts. Now they don't know what it is. But anyway, I'm for some of those things. But that's not where God's doing His work. That's not what He's talking about building right here. He's still blessing His church. Church, look at me. I had lost one single ounce of vision of what I believe God wants to do here. Not even just a little bit. Listen, He's already done some amazing, wonderful things. But you hear me, the half has never yet been told. Because I serve a God that says nothing shall be impossible unto you. God's going to pay this building off. God's going to build a gym. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I'm going to let you know some things that you don't need to know yet. God's going to do it all. He's going to do it all. I wonder tonight as we stand for prayer, who would simply be willing to join me at this altar and ask God specifically to help us to continue building this church? I can't get it done. You can't get it done. But I can do all things through Christ, strengthens me. I wonder tonight, you can come now, you don't have to wait for the piano to start, who will come and join me at this altar and ask God to help us continue to build this church, to give us influence in the community, influence in families, influence in homes, influence in lives. And not only influence, but give us insight. Who will come and ask God to help their pastor? Who will come and ask God to help their Sunday school teacher? What Sunday school teacher will come and ask God to help them with their class, help themselves? Let's not let the work of God cease while we sing. Why don't you come now? 250. Come now. We need God's help.